this is Eric Chase, afternoon host on our Cumulus Media Toledo pop station, Q105, afternoons 3 to 7. And of course, your host here for Cumulus Media Toledo's Contact, where we talk to people in the community, sometimes big organizations, sometimes people just trying to do little things to make where we live a better place. If you follow the show, you know that I am Jewish. Chase is not my legal last name. My friends at the Jewish Federation, who have visited here before, are putting on a very important event at the end of August. Shine a Light on Hate. Let's talk to Daniel Perlman from the Jewish Federation about the importance of that event now. Welcome to Daniel Perlman here to the podcast and to Contact. Daniel, what is your official position with the Jewish Federation?
I'm the Vice President of Community and Government Relations.
Excellent. Thank you for taking some time. You're here to talk about an event coming up. It's on my calendar. I will not forget because I'm a part of it, but you're here to explain it. Shine a Light on Hate, right?
Correct. Yeah. And Eric, thank you so much for having me on your show as well. Shine a Light on Hate, Creating a Compassionate Community is the official title of the program. And we're really planning it as a response to the significant recent increase in violence and intimidation, harassment against a variety of minority groups. That includes the Jewish community, but that includes so many other communities as well.
We just had an incident a handful of weeks ago, and it really was a shining light of how our community reacts to things. Can you give some light to that, to what happened, if people don't know, during Love Fest and then beyond?
Yeah, sure. So on July 16th, 18 masked tiki torch holding neo-Nazis came to town from across Ohio, and they came to harass and intimidate people at the Equality Toledo Love Fest downtown. They were there for about 15 or 20 minutes or so, and when they got bored there, they then came to the Jewish Toledo campus in Sylvania to try to harass Jews in Sylvania. Fortunately, there were no events happening on our campus, so they didn't actually intimidate anyone, but nevertheless, it shows what affects one group oftentimes affects other groups as well. And we really stand in solidarity with our partners at Equality Toledo.
You said they got bored there because they were ignored. We have,
correct,
as we are on the dawn here, the precipice of it. It is Pride Week, Pride Weekend coming up. Regardless of when you hear this, we have a steeled, galvanized Pride community who unfortunately has dealt with this stuff for too long. But they're good at dealing with it, as good as you can. When they went to the synagogue, was there anyone there at all?
There was nobody on the Jewish Toledo campus. Nobody. And except for actually Sylvania Township Police were there to greet them. What happened was when they left Toledo, they said that they were going to be going to that area in Sylvania, and the Toledo Police contacted the Sylvania Township Police. And the police, we really are so grateful for our partnership with law enforcement to make sure that no vandalism took place, no harassment of any individual. Fortunately, no one was there, but it could have been much worse.
Sure. What is the date and where is Shine a Light on Hate happening?
Yeah, so Shine a Light on Hate, Creating a Compassionate Community is happening on Sunday, August 27th at 1 p.m. at the Franciscan Center of Lourdes University.
This is not just us within the Jewish community sharing our experiences, and personally, I've never dealt with them, and I know you're having me speak on mental health. I'm very fortunate that no one poo-poos or tries to throw stigma in my face. It's a foreign concept to me. Who else will be a part of this? Because it's not just us in the Jewish community.
For sure. Yeah, we are really thrilled to be partnering with 16 additional community organizations. First of all, the Multifaith Council of Northwest Ohio. They're our closest partners for creating this program. We're really fortunate to be working with them. But 15 other partners are working on this. On this program, they're going to be leading breakout sessions, having informational tables, helping us secure funding or whatever. The Ability Center, Area Office on Aging of Northwestern Ohio, the City of Toledo's Human Relations Commission, the Diocese of Toledo, Equality Toledo, La Conexión, Lourdes University, NAACP Toledo, NAMI Greater Toledo, Sisters of St. Francis Sylvania, the United Muslim Association of Toledo, University of Toledo, Welcome TLC, Women of Toledo, and YWCA of Northwest Ohio.
When you reached out to some or all of these to let them know that they were invited, their participation was welcome, invited, all of that stuff, what was their response?
They were grateful for the opportunity, and really this is to my knowledge, the first time that you have 17 or 18 organizations all coming together. We have similar enough missions. We should be working together more often. And it's my hope that this event is not just a one-time thing. We continue these conversations. We continue to work together because I really genuinely feel like together we can do so much more than just separately.
One of the things that I've noticed since I've been here now for 10 years, where are you from? Give me some of your background, the origin story of Daniel.
Sure. Yeah, I'm from the Cleveland area originally. Went to school at the University of Michigan, Ann Arbor. Go Blue. And then I lived in Boston. I lived in Jerusalem to get my master's degree. Lived in Pittsburgh. And now I've been in Toledo since the early days of the pandemic. So mid to late 2020.
I'm very curious of your perspective of something that I have gleaned in my time here. I too have lived in mostly big cities. I'm originally from Philadelphia, which has a very most big cities, especially in the East Coast, have larger than usual Jewish populations. Philadelphia, Detroit, down to Orlando, back up. I've been a lot of places like you. Of all the places I've lived, this is the least diverse place I've ever lived. Generally speaking, it's a lot of white people and a lot of black people. There are only 2,000 Jewish people. We have, relatively speaking to what I'm used to, in larger cities, a very small Hispanic community, which I'm excited to see what's happening in the old South End. Do you see things the same?
You know, that's a great question. I think I have lived in more diverse cities in the past. Toledo is a little bit less diverse than some. However, there are amazing communities, smaller, but nonetheless amazing communities. And together, you know, both separately and together, these communities do amazing work and they plan amazing events and they're there for people in need and for people who are just, you know, feeling like they are in need of a different community. We're really grateful to be partnering with so many of these groups.
More of our discussion with Daniel Perlman from the Jewish Federation about Shine a Light on Hate when we return here on Contact. Of all the communities that you mentioned that'll be a part of the event, with things being here less diverse than places we've been, we have these smaller communities which are very powerful. And when something happens, they and the community at large often do come together. One thing that I remember, when was the Orlando shooting? Was that 2015, 2016?
Something like that.
I can't remember. There was a vigil one of the next days at one government center, and that was really my first interaction with someone from the Jewish community. I believe our cantor was here. I think he's gone. He had a British accent, but he was right out there, and that was my first taste of seeing how our Jewish community supports anyone else who may feel marginalized within our community. And that can be easy with all these smaller populations of minorities in the community. I hope this happens every year. Did anybody throw anything at you when you invited them saying, we've been waiting for something like this? This is absolutely needed because of the increased level of hate or just maybe passive ignorance that we've all experienced over the last handful of years?
You know, yes, both really. You know, a lot of people have expressed gratefulness for us planning this event. A lot of people also, not a lot, but some people have, you know, expressed, you know, maybe a question, you know, why is this event really necessary? And that just goes to the root of why this event's happening. Educating our greater community about why an event like this is important, that we are seeing a rise of hate and bigotry, and what we all can do together collectively to create a more compassionate society that we all want to live in.
Education, nobody, as we've learned, nobody is born poor. Nobody is born wanting to be poor. Nobody is born wanting to have a disability. Nobody is born the religion, gender, whatever. All this evil is learned, and the way to beat that back is through education, right?
Absolutely.
Do you have, and maybe this is a panacea, a pie in the sky dream that comes out of this? Can you ever think of a story in all your travels where someone who might have been a neo-Nazi, somebody who might have been a racist or something ending in ist, has gone to something like this and their mind has been opened and they look back with regret and they move forward in a positive way?
You know, that's a great question. And the answer actually is yes. I've met with former white supremacists. When I was living in Pittsburgh, I was working at a Holocaust education organization, and we actually brought a former white supremacist who lives in Georgia now to Pittsburgh to go to different area schools to talk about the hatred that they learned from a young age, the hate groups that they were in, and then the work that they've done since then to you know, to try to make the world a little bit of a better place after all of the hate that they spewed out that made it a worse place. There definitely are examples of people who do change. And you know, but it's those are really the extreme examples. I'm also focused more on the people more in the middle, people who don't really feel a need to get to know other people's. And we all know that what happens when you do meet other people, you go a little bit outside of your comfort zone. You tend to stereotype less. You tend to mischaracterize less. I think it's imperative of all of us across Greater Toledo and really across this country to go outside of our comfort zones a little bit. And even if you yourself don't feel like you're a hateful person, if you don't know certain people, you might have wrong ideas about them or their values or their beliefs. So I really encourage everyone to just go out there and talk to someone new.
Nobody ever learned anything or grew much inside their comfort zone.
For sure.
Do you know my friend Stuart James, head of the Ability Center?
I do.
I love when Stuart tells this story, and he and I have become great friends over the last couple of years, mostly because we're kind of rabid, loud, twittering sports fans. But Stuart tells this story. He's two twin little girls, and they obviously have friends, and Stuart is in his wheelchair, and one of the friends of the little girls wanted to play with the wheelchair because she'd clearly never seen anything like it. Play with it for like 5 minutes, and just like any other kid with a new toy, once they play with it and realize that it was just like everything else, they moved on. And adults are like that too, just to your point. You step outside, you learn something, you go, this isn't what I thought it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Talk about redemption. I remember you talk about you getting here during the pandemic. This was in the wake of George Floyd protests and conversation. There was one here in Lambertville in the Bedford area, which has a reputation of some people with some nasty views there. There used to be a guy, and I think he's gone. He was on the school board. He used to stand on top of his building touting guns, and it was not great. There was a gathering there. There was a vigil one night, and I was watching it on Facebook Live. And the guy got up, bigger, husky, white guy, about our age, 20s, 30s. And he started off saying, I hate, and he might have said the N-word. And I'm like, oh dear, is he looking to undermine this? And he said, he corrected himself. He said, I did hate such and such, but I learned otherwise. It was one of the more powerful moments, especially during that time. So I'm glad that you two have met people who have found redemption and that it's possible.
It is. It very much is.
Can you, we're talking in abstract ways about all this. We read the news, we see the numbers. Can you give me any statistics that maybe bounce around in your head about the increase of hate, even if it's just against people in our religion?
Yeah, absolutely. Given my role at the Jewish Federation, I mostly know about statistics, specific statistics in regards to the Jewish community. But all of the statistics that I'm going to name, there are similar statistics for other communities, marginalized communities or minority communities, communities at risk as well. In the Jewish community, about 60% of all reported hate crimes, religiously motivated hate crimes, according to the FBI, 60% of them are against Jewish community members across the country.
There was a commercial, I believe, running on NBC during my shows in the springtime, I think, talking about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And there are national campaigns to raise awareness about this. Shine a Light on Anti-Semitism. The Robert Kraft Foundation also has the Blue Square campaign to raise awareness on anti-Semitism. But all of these are just the reported crimes. We know that there are so many attacks, so many crimes that are unreported because people don't feel comfortable enough to report it. And that's, again, that's Jewish community members, and that's also people of other faiths, of other backgrounds as well.
Why, and this goes back a long, long way, as we learned when we were little boys in Hebrew school and whatnot, but why do people hate Jewish people? And I mean that in a pop culture type of way. Yeah. We can dive into Kanye West and maybe more of a way that, like, we've been at war for a couple of thousand years with other religions.
Right, right. You know, the history of anti-Semitism goes way back. To try to give just a 30-second version, you know, I mentioned before that when people don't know someone, they tend to stereotype or mischaracterize them. The Jewish community in America is only 2% of the American population. And here in Greater Toledo, we're less than one half of a percentage of the Greater Toledo population. when people don't meet Jewish people, and most Americans have never had the chance to meet a Jewish person, we tend to get mischaracterized. Anti-Semitism over the past couple of thousand years has seen a lot of different forms. Sometimes it was religiously motivated anti-Semitism from the Catholic Church. I'm talking about, you know, a thousand years ago or more. Sometimes it was based on eugenics and this, you know, this fake theory of, you know, racial hierarchy and Jews being classified as a separate race. That's certainly what the Nazis, you know, did. But there have been so many different forms. Jews being a minority in whatever country they live in tend to be scapegoated for whatever ills of society are happening, whether that be a plague, whether that be a drought, whether that be war or famine. This was the case for centuries and centuries, especially before, you know, the advent of, you know, modern society and the internet. But even still now, we're seeing a resurgence of anti-Semitism on social media and on the dark web and through these you know formerly, you know, a lone wolf, you know, might just be, you know, kind of the stereotype is, you know, in their mom's basement, you know, looking things up online, and, you know, they used to be kind of be alone and not really have a community. But now you have a bunch of lone wolves kind of all over the country through social media being able to connect to one another. And that has created a resurgence in this anti-Semitism as well.
I guess part of the answer, and you've illustrated that, is why have people hated us for so long? We've been around a long time.
Yeah, we have.
Like the things that we learned when we were little boys in Hebrew school, and, you know, in some cases, I say, we were the original slaves, you know, going back to the Pharaoh days and Passover in the Old Testament. How did you get involved in all of this work?
That's a great question. You know, I've always seen myself as a connector, someone who has wanted to bridge divides. And I'm seeing a lot of divides in society. I'm Jewish. I strongly identify with my faith and with my identity and my culture. But I know that there are so many similarities, you know, between us and so many other groups, whether they be religious groups, minority or majority faiths, whether they be other cultural or ethnic groups. And, you know, this opportunity that I have here at the Jewish Federation of Greater Toledo to build relationships with other groups really is a blessing. And in many ways, I feel like it's a mitzvah as well. Mitzvah is the Hebrew term for good deed. Sometimes also it refers to a commandment, meaning something that God actually commands us to. And I really believe that God commands all of us to really get to know one another, to create a peaceful society. You know, we shouldn't be at war. We shouldn't be stereotyping. We should do whatever we can to create a better place, not just for ourselves, but for our children and our future descendants as well.
Absolutely. Relating back to my experiences, let me throw this at you, having been somewhat new to the area. You mentioned that we are 0.5% of the population here, and that's very unusual for us. You being in Boston and Cleveland, me in Philadelphia, I could go to sports games at times, parties at times, in weeks without seeing any of my other friends, all my Jewish friends and whatever, just the neighborhood. There have been times when I've been here and I've told people that I'm Jewish. They don't often recognize that because they're like, you don't have a Jewish last name. I'm like, that's the fake one. And many people have said, as you did, I've never met a Jewish person before. And it allows me to relate to a lot of my minority friends who I've met through all my travels. It allows me to feel like them for just a moment. And thankfully, these people aren't hateful. Mm-hmm. It's just like they've seen a unicorn for the first time.
Yeah.
Have you experienced that when you've met some people?
I have. You know, I've experienced both the, you know, I've never met a Jewish person, you know, in a positive way, and also the, you know, I've never met a Jewish person and I thought X, Y, and Z in a negative way, that the stereotypes, you know, when my parents were in college, you know, they would have friends who'd go to smaller schools in Ohio, even schools as large as, you know, Miami University. And I heard so many stories of, you know, from their friends saying, you know, my freshman year roommate, you know, literally asked me, wait, if you're Jewish, where are your horns? You know, like, you know, 30, 40 years ago. This isn't even that long ago. I'm sure there are still some Americans who genuinely believe that, you know, Jews have horns. You know, but fortunately, I have also, you know, I've had a lot of nice opportunities where no one's, you know, someone maybe has never met a Jewish person before, but after a nice conversation, they realize that we're not so bad after all.
And I've never gotten the horns question. I do get a lot of eyebrows raised if I order something with ham or pepperoni. They're like, can you eat that? I'm like, yes, I don't keep kosher.
Yeah.
What are some of the things that you've come to really enjoy about Toledo? Please don't tell me Metro Parks, the Art Museum, or the zoo.
I will say the people here, it really is a special place because people really, it's a little bit more casual. People are friendly. I think it's a part of this, you know, Great Lakes, Rust Belt, Midwestern vibe, but more so than other cities that I've lived in the
Boston.
Midwest. Well, certainly different than Boston, but even even compared to larger cities in the Midwest, I think living in a smaller city gives you more opportunities to really talk to people. People don't feel as rushed or as busy. People are more willing, I think, to help one another out.
I agree. How long were you in Boston?
I was there for just over a year. Okay. It was interesting. It was right out of college. But Boston very much has an East Coast, very rushed vibe, and Toledo doesn't have that at all, and I appreciate that about Toledo.
One of the first things that I noticed here living in the Midwest, I went to Detroit first, was, yeah, people, look, there's going to be rowdy, rough people everywhere, but like I would have these instances where I'd be like, you know what, if that happened in Philadelphia, I would have gotten the middle finger. Wow. Like the middle finger was almost the way to say hello on the East Coast. Here, not so much. People really are kinder here, and it's one of the things that I've really come to love about it, and this is why this is my home now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What are some of your other roles and responsibilities besides bringing people together and what you do with the Jewish Federation?
Yeah, sure. So I have several different hats, kind of, so to speak. You know, interfaith relations, building relationships with other ethnic and minority groups, government relations at the local, state, and federal level. We also, the Jewish Federation and Jewish federations around the country, the majority of the funding that we distribute through our foundation, you know, goes to local causes. But we do have about 10% of the funds that we raise every year through the community campaign go to causes abroad, in Europe, in Israel, elsewhere. And so part of my responsibility is to manage that and to decide with a committee that we have at the Jewish Federation what organizations, what projects do we want to help fund to really create a positive impact abroad as well, not just in our local community. And then I also manage our security director. Speaking of anti-Semitism, this is something that before the Tree of Life shooting in 2018 in Pittsburgh. Before that, very few Jewish federations had a full-time security director. Their money would be, you know, focused more on the local projects and really fulfilling our mission. Now, unfortunately, it's a reality that the vast majority, if not almost all, Jewish federations, and not just federations, synagogues, other, you know, Jewish institutions nationwide have to be spending a disproportionate amount of our funds on maintaining our physical security and the security of our community members as well. So we do have a full-time security director now. We have for the past few years now. And, you know, while we're grateful for him and for the work that he does, it's just a sad reality that it's even necessary.
Absolutely. Give me one last run of Shine a Light on Hate and why people should come on out.
Yes. So please come on out to Shine a Light on Hate, Creating a Compassionate Community, taking place on Sunday, August 27th from 1 to 5:30 p.m. at the Franciscan Center of Lourdes University in Sylvania. It's going to be an amazing event. We have a keynote speaker, we have a concluding panel discussion with some local partners, and we have 11 different breakout sessions for you to choose from, you know, from our local partners to learn about the issues that they're dealing with and how we all can create a more compassionate society. There will also be some small bites, some cultural performances, informational tables from our partners, and more. It will really be a nice opportunity to get to know other people in the community.
It's free, right?
It is free.
Registration required?
Not required, but recommended. And okay. We, you know, there is a website. If you just go to jewishtoledo.org, on the homepage, you will find the link to register. You could also call me or call, you know, my team at the Jewish Federation, and we can get you signed up.
An immense thank you to someone who I have crossed paths with a bunch, but never had this long of a conversation with, Daniel Perlman from the Jewish Federation of Toledo. Would love to have you out for Shine a Light on Hate coming up in a few weeks at Lourdes. Thank you for being here each and every Sunday morning on Contact.